This is the fourth week in the series One Anothering that we've been exploring, and we've talked about praying for one another and regarding one another as better than ourselves, as Pastor Doug mentioned, in prayer and encouraging one another. The Bible is just overflowing with direction as to how we should serve and be with one another, and we come to loving one another, which on the surface sounds like it should be a piece of cake. But we all know that it's not. Loving one another can be very, very difficult. We do love one another. We know that. We feel it in here. We act accordingly. We love one another, or we try very hard. We know in our heads the right things to do and the right way to live in accordance with everything that Jesus taught us. Our hearts have a great capacity for love, to love our friends and our families, and even love strangers from a place of human compassion. There are more than 50 New Testament scriptures that take the instruction to turn the subject one another into a verb, one anothering, and give us ways to do it. Live in harmony. Be devoted. Be at peace. Honor. Accept. Encourage. On the surface, loving one another sounds easy. We find ways to show love in our community all the time. Even more so, probably, during Thanksgiving and the Christmas season. We share what we have, and we provide meals. We assist in connecting people with resources that can help fill needs. And in our hearts and in our heads, we know what Christian love is supposed to look like. And you don't even need to be a Christian to understand that human beings all have the same emotions. We have the same needs, and we all bleed the same. And yet, we look out our windows and see heartbreaking acts of violence. 27 people killed at a church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. 54 killed and more than 400 wounded at a music festival in Las Vegas, Nevada. And just yesterday, more than 300 worshipers killed in an attack at a mosque in North Sinai. And there are people in cities all over the world without homes and without food and without adequate medical care. And there are people who are alone and lonely. We look at the world around us and we see so many examples of anger and hatred and even apathy. And we ask ourselves, what happened? When did we get to this point? Have we as a civilization always had this capacity for evil, or did something change? And more importantly, how do we fix it? We love, and that leaves us open to the possibility of pain. It can also leave us open to the possibility of contracting the same diseases we see in the world, the diseases of anger and frustration and apathy. Don't you ever feel that way? Like, in spite of your best efforts, it's not making a bit of difference in the world? You take 3 steps forward and you get pushed 2 steps back, and no matter what you do, the bigger picture is pretty ugly. It's a real test of faith, isn't it? And that's why apostles like Paul and Peter and John wrote their letters. More often than not, the young Christian church was struggling. Conflicts have been present in the church since Pentecost. It's nothing new. And the letters were meant to be a source of encouragement and direction. John's letters came at a time when there was a split in the church, or at least a disagreement. They were having a disagreement over whether Christ was divine or human. In his first letter, John encouraged new Christians to support one another and to be aware of people and things in the world that would sway their faith. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, cautioned the Corinthians about becoming divided by false prophets and cautioned against following the preacher instead of following Christ. John cautioned the recipients of his letter that the spirit of the Antichrist was already in the world, but he also reassured them that the one who is in them is greater than that one who is in the world. They are stronger because of their faith than anything that the world can throw at them. The best part is that John spends most of chapters 4 and 5 of that first letter reminding them of how God loves them. In this letter, John echoes chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. John reminds them that because of their belief in Christ and their relationship with God and the presence of the Spirit abiding in them, then they abide in God. God sent his only Son to share our humanity and atone for our sins because God loved us so much. John even goes so far as to say, we love because he first loved us. And that true believers cannot say they love God but hate their brothers and sisters. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. So how does this encouragement of John's help us? It's easier to look at a fellow Christian, another believer, and say, yes, of course I love this person. If they needed help, I'd do it in a second. I wouldn't even hesitate. And we readily help people, maybe that we don't even know, through St. Paul's Community Center or Cass Community Center or through our Hawkins Elementary Partnership and other places where we can help bridge gaps in the community. We will serve as Stephen ministers and provide a listening ear to those who are struggling. We will be caring hearts and visit the homebound members of our congregation. We are good at showing love through works. Perhaps what we can draw from John's letter, in particular through those words, because God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. Perhaps what we can draw from that is armor for our faith for those times when it feels tested or compromised. God loved us so much that he sent his only Son to live among us and to die for our sins. And while he was here, he showed us how to love unconditionally, even when we're sad and discouraged, even when we're angry. I know that a lot of us have been affected deeply by the crises in the world, especially violence in our own country lately. For me, ironically, it wasn't that mass shooting in Las Vegas, as horrific as it was, that tested me. I think I was too shocked by the scope of it to really process what happened. But it was the shootings in that small church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, that pushed the boundaries of my faith. It made me sick, it made me sad, and it made me angry. And I think I felt angry because I felt useless. There was nothing I could do to fix the situation, and I wondered how a human being can become so broken that they choose to open fire on innocent people. And I started to think that one uncomfortable thought, what's the point? Why do we pray? Why do we keep trying to do the right things? Why do we serve out of love for God and love for neighbor, only to have something like that happen? Something like Sutherland Springs or Vegas or London or Paris or North Sinai. And nothing against anger. Anger's okay, as long as it's productive and motivating to do better. But there's a quote attributed to Augustine of Hippo, a bishop and a theologian in the Christian church in North Africa. He died about 430 AD, and he was about 75 years old. He wrote about 200 letters and 500 sermons in his lifetime. And there's a quote attributed to him that goes like this. Hope has two beautiful daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. Now, even if Augustine was not the originator of that statement, someone should get credit for it. Because these emotions, anger and courage and hope, are all siblings, maybe even children of that guiding emotion known as love. Because our hearts and souls have a great capacity for love, we also have a great capacity to be affected by the destructive things of the world. And we could close ourselves off and become bitter and lose ourselves to anger. Or we can find the courage to continue to love and even love our neighbors better in spite of everything. And that can yield hope and renewed love. John writes in the verse following the one that Vicky just read for us, the verse that comes after that is, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." God, people can see what God is like through us. We don't have the luxury of being able to stand face to face with a terrorist or some other perpetrator of a crime or violence in our neighborhoods or in our world and just say, why? Why would you inflict this kind of pain? What did they ever do to you? And don't you know you are loved? What we do have is the gift of being able to do things like loving people in the aftermath. We can become one anothering experts in spite of anger and pain and frustration that challenge our faith. Because God loved us first, and God's Spirit lives in us, and that is powerful armor. I think there are times when we feel God's love for us. We know it in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. And so we just do what God needs us to do to show the world how it's supposed to be. There are acts of desperation and cruelty and thoughtlessness and hopelessness taking place in the world every single day. The bigger ones are the ones that make the news. But we all walk through some of these incidents at some point in our lives, and they'll never make headlines. I have permission to share a story with you. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but recently my youngest was cyberbullied. I read the messages, and while as a parent I was angry, I also hurt for my child having to endure that level of meanness. And I also hurt for the bully and the bully's parents, because the bully was not always like that. And eventually, anger went away, and I was just sad for all parties involved. In the thick of all the drama, my daughter was fortunate to have friends who supported her and school administration that acted quickly. And in the thick of all that drama, my daughter forgave the bully and said she just wanted the bully to get help and get better. That is how we love one another, and the example is forgiveness. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. And there are many, many ways that we can illustrate one anothering to the world: forgiveness, kindness, guidance, and acceptance. Being the healers and the rebuilders, being the difference makers. Because God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And because God so loved us, we wear armor of unshakable faith even when the world is trying to shake us.